Our scripture lesson today comes from John chapter 1, starting in the 29th verse. With a sermon titled, Wherever. John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, Look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. Then John gave this testimony. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, The man whom you see, on whom you see, the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, Look, the Lamb of God. When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, What do you want? They said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Come, he replied, and you will see. And so they went and saw where he was staying, and spent the day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, We have found the Messiah, that is, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which, when translated, is Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, Follow me. May God add his blessings to that passage, and may we be put forth into that as we seek him out in prayer. Father, be with us now as we seek the message, as we listen to what you have given to be heard. Not my words, no. We thank you, Father, that you would lift us up in this time and strengthen us and show us a closer glimpse, a better understanding, a greater walk in the truth. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of his children said, Amen. All right. Because I love numbers and I get fascinated by them, although I'm not really that good at math, I like how things make me think. So let's start with this number. 29,000 feet. Anybody know how many miles that is? A little better than 5 miles, right? 29,000 feet. That's how high Mount Everest is. Now, we've talked about that before. But when you think about it from that standpoint, that mountain is 5 miles off the face of this planet. That's a long way when you stop to really consider it. Now let's try 36,000 feet. That's a little bit what? Over how many miles? 7 miles. 36,000 feet is what they call Challenger Deep, otherwise known as the Mariana Trench in the ocean. That is the deepest known point on the face of this planet. You can literally take Mount Everest, boink, pick it up, and set it down in the trench, and it still would not be as tall as the trench is. 7 miles down. And they haven't explored all the way to the bottom of it. They've used equipment and scientific figuring to figure out how deep it is. That's pretty impressive and pretty fascinating on this planet, isn't it? Now let's try this number. For those who think we've had some cold weather, especially those from another country where, you know, when it drops below 60 degrees, they put on sweaters. Let's try this number. 128 degrees below zero. Friends, that is cold. That number was generated in 1983 at the Soviet weather satellite station in Vostok, Antarctic, in the Arctic Circle. Got it right. 128 degrees below zero is the coldest temperature known to ever have been recorded on this planet. Now let's go the other way. In 1913, in Death Valley, of all places, at the Greenland Ranch, was recorded the hottest temperature ever known. You ready? 134 degrees. And for those of you who go, oh, it's so hot. Oh, it's 80 degrees out here today. I'm just going to melt away. You wonder why they call it Death Valley, don't you? Do you realize that the temperature recorded on the surface of the sun is 10,000 degrees normally? 10,000! They call that 5977 in Kelvin units. That's incredibly hot. I start thinking about all these numbers and how we figured it out. We've got to go to the moon. A lot of people see the moon hanging up there in the sky. We've all talked to the moon, haven't we? Oh, Mr. Moon, man in the moon. I really want that woman to marry me. Come on, you all know you have. You sing the songs to it, Blue Moon. If you remember the 1957 song by Bobby Helms, one of the greatest country music songs, Fraulein ever put on tape, where he sings about looking up at the moon. Right, Pat? That was one of your favorites. On the surface, when the sun hits the moon, it reaches 250 degrees. When the sun leaves and becomes dark, it becomes 250 degrees below zero. Everybody knows that the fastest moving element in the universe is the speed of light. Traveling at what?
186.
What is it?
186,000 miles a second.
186,000 feet. Isn't it feet per second?
Miles.
Miles per second. Just check it. Having a little fun. That means by the time you've seen light, it's moving at that speed. And so from that basis, we get the understanding of what a light year is. Does anybody know the distance of a light year? 5.88 trillion miles. You always hear them saying, oh, we're going to go to light speed. My kids get in the truck. Daddy, take this thing to light speed. If we ever did that, our faces would never catch up to us. We look at things and we think about light years away, light years away. And so when you think about that, the furthest known point that we have found and recorded in the universe is 13.3 billion light years away. They figure that the new record holder is the galaxy MACS0647-JD. JD. That's where John Deere comes from. They figure that that universe that was just discovered probably came into light at the same time ours did, because of the amount of time it takes for the light to travel back. It's impressive, isn't it? When you start thinking about these numbers, when you start thinking about things in terms of light years and light speed, do you know that when you look at the sun, the light that you are seeing at this minute left 8 minutes ago to get here? That's crazy. When you start putting all those numbers in your head, you start becoming impressed with things. And when we consider it, it's some pretty far-reaching numbers. And right now, you want to think of something else? We've only scratched the surface of what we know about the universe, the ocean, the atmosphere, and this planet. I read an article the other day that there are still places on this planet that have not seen a human footprint. Think about that for a minute. Some of those places exist in this country. that no man has stepped foot in. The reason I'm trying to get you to think like this is because sometimes we start to forget. We get to going around in our own way. We get to going along in our own thing. We get to thinking, you know, I got to get up tomorrow morning. I got to go to work. I got to do this. I don't think about the things that take place. Snap on the light switch. Walk over in the morning. Get up. You know, it's 4:30 in the morning. 4:15 when I get up in the morning. I walk in, turn the light on in the bathroom because I got to go in and start getting ready. Walk in, look in the mirror. Ah! Oh, golly, that's just me. You know. And you start getting ready to go. You walk over. You turn on the faucet and the water starts coming out and it gets hot. And you do your thing. You go out. You jump in your car. Vroom, and you take off down the road. And you go to work. And you look up and, oh, doesn't the moon look bright this afternoon? Or doesn't the moon look bright this morning? Or whatever. And you stop thinking about it. Man, the sun sure feels good today. Or, man, that sun sure is hot today. And we stop thinking about the beauty and glory that is this world. That was created. It didn't happen into existence. It didn't just suddenly start primordial oozing into existence. It happened because God spoke it into existence. Amen. Amen. And we know He did. What's it say? In the beginning, God created the world. It doesn't say He thought about it. It doesn't say He was sitting there watching it take place. He said it. I was driving home from work a couple of weeks ago, and I'm about to get myself into trouble because my wife doesn't even know this. Because I don't tell her everything. Because if I do, oh golly. I'm driving home from work. I'm about half out of it. I've got the bluegrass just rip snorting out of the speakers of that truck. And I'm singing along right there at the top of my lungs with it. And I can even tell you what song it was. It was the Salty Dog Blues. I love that. Flat and Scruggs just getting her done. And I'm happy. And the sky is clear. And there's no traffic. And I'm just outside of Frederick. And I look down and I'm looking at the clock. And I'm like, I'm actually going to get home at a decent hour today. And I'm whining, bad and bad. And all of a sudden, a truck and trailer in front of me lost its load right in front of me. They had plywood on the back of the trailer. And they had secured it. And the plywood came up right in front of me, started heading for my truck. Me and the other two on the road with us. And cars went in every direction. Now, I have been driving for a whole lot of years. I got asked the other day, as a matter of fact, can you remember the first time you got behind the wheel? Yeah, 6 years old on tractors. And so I saw it going up in the air, and I mashed that truck to the floor. Because I believe, in the old adage, if I can be where it's at now, it won't be where I'm at when it's going to hit. And so I mashed into it and drove right at it. And the plywood flew off and flew up over the truck and landed over on the shoulder of the road. I drove underneath of it. And the guy driving the truck saw it and he went for the shoulder and cars were spinning in every direction. And I was like, huh? And I said something along the effects of, what a bunch of idiots. Too stupid to put something down on that. Turn the radio back up, go on home, go to work. It ain't a big deal to me. But then I started thinking, do you know what had to happen in perfect order that I didn't get hit with a sheet of plywood? Which I'm pretty sure if it hit that truck, it would have been very, very bad. Because I drive, you've seen it, that little Ford Escape, which is almost bigger than a roller skate. And I didn't think for a moment. When it happened, I got to thinking afterwards. Everything had to fall into perfect order so I wasn't at the wrong spot when that piece of plywood came loose. I had stayed a minute or two late for work. I had gotten caught behind somebody driving around the Beltway at less than 70 miles an hour, which is what I'm used to. Everything factored up, and it didn't happen. And we've all got stories like this. Man, by the grace of God, or man, sometimes we don't say it. Somebody was looking out for me, really. But we don't stop and think about what it took to make this happen. We don't stop and remind ourselves, we're now just a few weeks out of the Christmas season and we're already thinking about Easter. I am, because I've got work to do coming up for Easter. And we kind of start to forget about the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. What had to happen? I read this once. Now I'm going to read it again, just so you understand this. And I'll probably read it more than one time when I'm in the pulpit. In his book, Science Speaks, Peter Stoner applies the modern science of probability to just 8 prophecies regarding Christ. 8 of them. He says the chance that any man might have fulfilled all 8 prophecies is 1 in 10 to the 17th power. Where's my math people? Everybody's looking down. I don't even remember 17th power. All I remember is that the value meal at McDonald's cost this much. That would be, are you ready? 1 in 100 quadrillion chances. Y'all better go play the lottery because you got a better chance. Stoner suggests that we should take 10 to the 17th in silver dollars and lay them on the face of Texas. They will cover the whole state 2 feet deep. That deep, silver dollars, over the whole state. That's 10 to the 17th, 100 quadrillion. Now mark one of these silver dollars and stir the whole mass up. Blindfold a man and tell him he can travel as far as he wishes, but he must pick up that one marked silver dollar. What chance would he have of getting the right one, Stoner concludes. Just the same chance that the prophets would have had of writing those 8 prophecies and having them all come true in any one man, providing they wrote them in their own wisdom, led by God. Wherever is the beginning of this sermon. We need to remind ourselves constantly that of all the things that we take for granted around this world, the swings in temperature, the moon, the sun, the height of the greatest mountain, the depth of the greatest sea, somewhere along the line we sing songs like that, don't we? I love my Lord to the height of the mountain. You can write a hymn on it. Ah, my Lord loves me to the depth of the sea. There was a song by Randy Travis a few years ago talking about how you would sing your love to your woman. And he wrote it in a country style. And he wrote, I've heard the sea is salty and sometimes the sun don't shine. We think in these terms. And we stop thinking after a while because we start to take it for granted. And we think about it and we praise it up. Hey, Jesus Christ was born on Christmas. He was born that way. He came by a virgin to Mary. And it was prophesied and blah, 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 blah. And we never stop to consider for 1 minute God's greatest plan for us. Wherever we are, He is with us. God's greatest plan. Wherever we are, all of this, right here on this planet, in all of this came Jesus. Do you think that Mount Everest grew since Jesus was born? No. Has it been there since the beginning? Yes. Do you really think there's an ark up on Mount Ararat? Well, I guarantee you I do. They ain't proved it ain't there yet, but they've got an awful lot of signs that it was. Do you really think there was a flood? What covered the whole earth? Oh, yes, they're finding stuff about that now. All of this that's massive and great and takes a lot to think about all culminates into one little point. Jesus Christ. All of it. And he came with no real fanfare. There was no prep. John proclaims him, but he just kind of, all of a sudden, 400 years after God quit talking, bam! Time to bring him out. He didn't line up the stars, and he didn't set off a heavenly cascade of fireworks. He put one star out there, and most people didn't even see it. They probably walked out their door that day and went, oh, look at that star burning bright. And he brought it to Mary through an angel, and we don't even know that Mary said anything to anybody else. except maybe for her cousin Elizabeth. We know that he brought forth John. John, who we forget about. John, the man that would clear the dust, clear everything ready. That's all he had, was one job to do. And even then, it wasn't with great fanfare. Back up in that chapter, chapter 1. John, the gospel writer, starts it off. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Boy, that's it. No great, long, drawn-out fanfare. He was wherever God was. And through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men, the light that shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. And there came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light, the true light that gives light to every man, was coming into the world. That was the fanfare. That was the prep. He was in the world, and through the world was made through him. The world did not recognize him. That's the greatest line right there at the beginning of all that. That Jesus Christ has been here since the beginning of time and was not recognized. And even after he was born, there was only a couple murmurs. Man, who's this kid reading from the scrolls? What's going on here? And then suddenly, whoop, silence again. And now Jesus is, how old? 30. 30. You know what I was doing when I was 30 years old? I was starting to think, maybe I ought to get married. What woman in her right mind would ever in my life want to have anything to do with a nutcase like me? You might ask her that later on. I'm sure she'll have a lot to tell you. But he was 30. John testifies a little later on. He cries out, say, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. Wherever God was, there also was Jesus from the very beginning. Out of all this God created, there is. And there is so much more that, you know what, we may never know. We will go away from this mud ball with questions unanswered, even in our own mind. And God created it all. And wherever God was at, so was Jesus. Wherever he touched, so was his son. You know, when I saw that plywood flying around, I just thought to myself, man, they're going to get mad at me if this thing hits the truck. When I started thinking about it, though, I thought, my golly, it's true. If we think about God in the fullness of our wants and our desires and our loss and our need, that wherever God is in our life is who else? Jesus. God couldn't touch us himself. That wasn't how it was going to be. Too great. Too magnificent. What did he do on the mountaintop? He just kind of brushed by Moses. Moses at a burning bush that didn't catch fire. I want to see that. When I get to heaven, that's the first trick I want to see. Lord, I'm here. Can you set a bush on fire now and not burn it up? What do you mean I shouldn't tempt thy God? I just thought it would be kind of neat. I'm sure he'll tell me to behave myself. But he simply calls out. Go back to that scripture for a moment. I want to draw your attention back, starting in verse 35. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. John is in the River Jordan, and they are coming out to see John. They're coming out to be, what's going on here? And Jesus walks by, and John says, when he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. And when the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. They had been listening to John, and suddenly, okay, wherever he's going to go, I'm going to go. And so they run after him. And turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" He didn't ask them to come to him. He merely was about his Father's work. And they said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." If you've ever seen the movie, The Greatest Story Ever Told, where they show where Jesus is staying, it's just alongside the road. Not much to it. And so they went and saw where he was staying and spent the day with him. And it was about the 10th hour. And now, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who had heard what John said and who had followed Jesus. And the first thing Andrew did was find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which means Peter. Jesus came to lead us, to be in front of us, to show us that our vulnerability, our weaknesses, our loss, our sins, our failings, our everything means nothing to him. He stands there ready to lift you up. We getting ready to leave the house this morning, and the ramp is a little icy. And so I'm trying to earn a few husband points because I might not be up on points, although I did sing to her this morning. And so I waited down by the ramp to catch her if she would fall and slide down the ramp. No, that's terrible, ain't it? Paints a funny picture, though, don't it? I stood by the side of the ramp when she came out, and I grabbed her. I said, "Come here, let me get you down off of here." Now, I am not anything like Jesus, not even, there's no possible way. But the imagery that that can present to each one of us, to a husband who's held his wife's hand when they're walking across unsteady ground, to someone who has seen the need coming into church and took somebody's coat off and hung it up for them. That's Jesus. Wherever we are being that person, Jesus is being there with us. S.I. McMillan, in his book, None of These Diseases, tells the story of a young woman who wanted to go to college. And I know I've told this story, and I'm going to tell it again. But her heart sank when she read the question on the application that said, "Are you a leader?" She was innocent, honest, conscientious, and she wrote no and returned the application expecting the worst. To her surprise, she received this letter from the college that read, quote, "Dear applicant, a study of the application forms reveals that this year our college will have 1,452 new leaders. We are accepting you because we feel it is imperative that they have at least one follower." Jesus simply wants to be with us wherever. Back in John, at 43, the next day Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. And Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said to him, "Here is a true Israelite, in whom there is nothing false." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God and the King of Israel." And Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that." He then added, "I tell you the truth, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Wherever. Wherever we go, we take the light of Jesus with us. The grocery store, the hardware store, the nursing home, the gas station, school, work, wherever. That's where we go. That's where he goes. He sees us wherever we are. Wherever. You can't possibly hide from Him. There's an old joke that I've often wanted to tell about a man who broke into a house. And as he's collecting the things, he's suddenly startled by the words, "Jesus is watching you." Man, he looks around, ain't nobody there. And finally, he starts back to his work and he hears, "Jesus is watching you." And he starts looking for the voice and he digs a little bit. And lo and behold, he sees a parrot in the cage in the corner. And he walks over and he says, "What?" And the parrot looks at him and says, "Jesus is watching you." The man said, "Is your name Jesus?" He said, "No, my name is Moses." And the man said, "Well, what kind of dumb owner would name their parrot Moses?" And the parrot said to him, "The same owner that would name their Rottweiler Jesus." Wherever we go, He's there. He is there wherever. He sees us wherever. He knows us wherever. No matter how much we marvel at the universe and all its wonders around us, the universe is finite. There is a limit to it. There is an end. But there is no end to wherever Jesus Christ will be for us. Say amen right there. He looked down from that bloody, nasty, dirty, horrible tree and saw us. He hung there with the sin of the world placed on Him. John Donne has a very simple poem. "'Twas much that man was, made like God before, but that God should be like man much more." Wherever we are, Jesus is with us. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You. We ask that You would lift us up and remind us constantly that we are never without Him. Like the hymn says, "No, never alone. He promised never to leave me alone. And He won't. He never will. Even if you turn from Him, He stays." And all He asks is for you to simply place your belief in Him and follow Him. No prep, no fanfare. No matter what, wherever He may go, we follow. Wherever we are, wherever we're lost, He is there. We cannot go to the top of Mount Everest, to the bottom of the Mariana Trench, to the hottest place on earth, to the coldest place on earth, that Jesus is not there and has been and always will be and will never leave us. And so our job is to take what we have everywhere. Do you know my Jesus? Do you know Him? He loves you. He wants you. He doesn't want you to perish. He doesn't want that you should go away. He was once on the throne of heaven and then left there to save us. Wherever we are, so is He. And we should say it, remember it, live it, and love it as You have given it to us, God. In the name of Almighty and precious Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.